Well, we're glad to be here. A falling tree nearly hit Nick on the way to pick me up. We picked up something on the way, but the wind is very strong. And I've brought my asthma inhaler with me because these things get to me as well sometimes, like to you. I'm going to talk to you today about touching the mystery of what God allows sometimes. And I don't know whether, as I look around the congregation, some of you are saying, well, yeah, things are fine, but I'm going through it at the moment. God's allowed something to come into my life that I don't understand. What do I do? I want to start off by going back and taking a thought to Ecuador in the late 1950s. Five young American missionaries were killed trying to reach a tribe of Indians called the Orca Indians. And five widows and the wider Christian church around the world moved their loss. And they were asking this question, why, Lord, why? All those years of preparation. These were exceptional guys. They were in their late 20s, early 30s. One was a pilot, and they were very highly gifted. And yet, in about 2 minutes, these five young guys were butchered and killed. All the heartache of it. Lord, it's such a mystery. I think back to a place called Reggio Emilia, where Ginny and I were in the 1970s. We were working in this northern Italian town. And we had a young Scot, a young guy from Scotland, come out to work with us. In fact, when we turned up when we came back home from being at a tent meeting, we found this young guy. He wasn't a tall guy. He was curled up on my front carpet. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I've been given your name by Peter Headley, and he said, I thought I'd just come and work with you. I thought, why didn't you write? Why didn't you ask? And but he was a very gifted guy. He had a degree in maths from Stirling University, or St. Andrews, and he was preparing to go to the mission field. And we were at the end of a tent mission ourselves, and we had 4 days before starting another one. And so we decided to go to Marina di Massa on the coast, on the mid-coast. And while we were there, the police turned up at the house while I was speaking, the carabinieri, and they said, are you leading this outfit, this band of young people? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you've lost one of your young men in the sea, and it was Douglas. And I had to think at the time, Lord, it's such a mystery. We can't get missionaries to go out to some of these countries, and this guy was preparing to go there. One more example. I think of Modena in 1997. I had a guy called Fritz Marzoni come to see me, one of the leaders of the Church of Brethren Assemblies in Italy. And he says, Godfrey, you've been down to Serbia and you've been teaching a little bit at the Oak Hall Bible College down there. He said, you've got to know the churches. He said, we want to plant young Italian couples into Serbia. Would you open up a few doors for us? I thought, wow, this is great. You know, I was in my mid-50s, early to 50s, and going back there and in Italy, now the chance to break out into Serbia. And it was not long after that my wife Ginny was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in her early 50s, and that really shook us, and we had to come home. And I thought then, Lord, this is such a mystery. Why do you allow these things to happen? And by using this phrase, touching the mystery, I mean that we experience God allowing something to happen in our lives that seems to be so pointless and so senseless and so counterproductive to his eternal purpose and what he wants to do. And yet as we read the Bible, we can see many people wrestling with the mystery of what God allowed to happen. We find Joseph, the son of Jacob, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied about and imprisoned. And I wonder if Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's prison there, where Potiphar sent him, thought, Lord, I've got to know you, and here am I, a young guy, I've got so much to give, and you know that woman's lied about me, and I try to honor you, and here I am. The Apostle Paul was anointed with many open doors, yet often found himself arrested and imprisoned and not knowing what to do. Job, bless him, God-fearing and generous, was overwhelmed by sudden disaster, and he didn't know why. I love you. I'm looking after these people. And at some time in our lives, and perhaps at various other times, we too will touch and wrestle with the mystery of what God allows. And when we do it, it can affect us negatively or positively. We can lose our faith completely, and some people do. They say, I never bargained for this. I thought God would kiss me and love me and hold me and bless me and really give me a good time. And then we hit the mystery. And some people just go. Others hang in there, but never grow or develop in the faith as they should, because their faith in God has been dented. And it's as if they're looking over their shoulder, wondering, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen to me? Or we can, thirdly, weigh the teaching of Scripture and be encouraged by what we see. Genesis 50 tells us that Joseph said to his brothers after Jacob's death, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because God had in mind future days and future peoples, and I would be here in a position of power to help them. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The Apostle Paul is put in prison many times and in many places, but he uses his time to write letters, and those letters are a part of our Bible today. You see, though these guys touched the mystery, what they found out with the passage of time was that God was painting on a bigger, bigger picture. And perhaps I'm speaking this morning to several here who have touched the mystery. Have you touched the mystery? How are you responding? How do we respond when we do so? In order to develop in faith and grow in grace and not give up inside. First, though, let me touch upon what we must do and what the backdrop is to everything else. The backdrop is this. We accept God's greatness and God's sovereignty over all. And as we move through life, we believe him to be the all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present God. Nothing can take him by surprise, and nothing can happen outside of his control. Now, this is the backdrop to which we go before we touch the mystery, and when we encounter things we don't understand. The backdrop is this, that God is sovereign, God is important, God is love, God is moving to a purpose. And if this is the principle of life for us, then when we touch the mystery in some way, proving him as we go along, in the past and as we go along, will be our confidence when it actually happens. Let me give you an example. 1 Samuel 17. As a young David, suddenly finds himself before this Goliath, and he's got Saul before him, and Saul is saying, listen, son, do you really know what you're doing? You've thrown off my armor. You're going out to face this giant. Do you really know what you're doing? And David says to him, yes, he says, because the God who helped me fight the lion and the bear will be with me against this uncircumcised Philistine. The God that I've proved along the journey of life, although I'm only a boy so far, will be there. We come to Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 2. In the quietness of his student years, Daniel experiences God's help to understand visions and dreams. And then when the big challenge comes, Nebuchadnezzar's got a problem and he's going to kill all the wise men. You've got to go and you've got to speak to him. He's confident that God will be there. Do you understand mysteries? Can you do this? No, sir, said Daniel. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And the challenge for all of us is to live daily in the reality of the God who helps us, so that when we touch the mystery or have to face something huge, we know that he will be there. Secondly, how do we cope? And when we touch the mystery, we activate the principle of faith and trust. Somebody has put it like this. We have to learn to trust in the darkness, the one that we have proven in the light. Because along the journey of life, we will go through the valleys, the valley of the shadow. We will have the fights in Christians' understanding, in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. There will be Apollyon to meet. There will be the valley of the shadow to go through. But there will be plateaus, and there will be joys and other good times. But it's in the valley is when we touch the mystery that we need to understand God. Many people in the Bible touched the mystery of God's allowing, but chose to trust him and believe he was in control. Job, in his situation, said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the psalmist in Psalm 73 sees the wicked going from strength to strength, and he's baffled. But then he says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And the prophet Habakkuk said, Lord, you've got to be joking in raising up all these Babylonians to come down and sort us out. And they're so evil. And he's so confused as well. But then he builds a watchtower to pray. And then he says these words, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, no ox in the stall, and the harvest fail, yet will I trust in the Lord. And the apostle Peter, when he touched the mystery, said, Lord, to whom can we go? You alone have words of eternal life. This has been brought back to me with great reality fairly recently. As I mentioned some time ago, 22 years ago, I began to go through it was a strange time, seeing my wife doing strange things and funny things, saying, sweetheart, what did you do this for? And I couldn't understand it. And then little by little, it came obvious that she had a real problem. It was diagnosed as Alzheimer's. For 22 years, it was a slow journey of moving with her through all the stages of loss and seeing doors close to my own ministry. And you feel you're backed into a corner. And this is God's will. And God, at the same time, brings great blessings as well in other areas. But those were the long, tough years. Then in May, the end of May 2019, she dies, and we have a tremendous send-off for her. George Verra of Operation Mobilization turned up to give a word. Victor Jack gave a tremendous challenge, and it was a tremendous send-off. It was absolutely great. And then some months later, I was asked to visit the churches in Italy for 2 weeks, late October, early November. And I did. It was a great time. And I came back and I thought to myself, Godfrey Miller, you're feeling stronger. After all these years, things are beginning to look up. You know, what doors is the Lord going to open? And I think, Lord, this is great. I feel good. One of the ladies in our church wanted to go into Bury, and I needed to go into Bury St. Edmunds. This was on November the 12th. And so I said, right, I'll take you in. And we were driving into Bury. And as we were going through Sicklesmere, which is a couple of miles from Bury, there's a road off to the left that goes to a little park called Nowton. And we got level with that park, and the traffic was moving slowly, and the traffic was coming this way, when all of a sudden, a lady driving a car coming this way just decided to pull out and drive straight at me. And she wanted to go to this little road on the left. And I said to Jill later, how long did we get? She said, 2 seconds, and this car came suddenly, pulled out, and boom, it drove, and it was a tremendous crash. And out of that crash, I came out not unscathed, but I had 2 months of complete bruising, and she got a fractured, 2 fractures in her spine, and in the hospital for 2 weeks, and she's on sticks, and will be for another 2 months. But in all this, I've really touched the mystery again. I'm saying, Lord, you've pulled me through 22 years of difficulty looking after her, after Ginny. And now, just as I was feeling good again, bang, down. What is the purpose in this? But I can honestly say that I've chosen to trust him, though I've touched the mystery in this, because I do believe that God doesn't act haphazardly. There must be a purpose in this. He could have taken me. I'm at an age, I'm over 70. I was ready to go. In fact, as I hit that car, I thought, this is the way Christians die. And I was looking for angels. I know it sounds funny, doesn't it? But you're looking around to think, who's going to take me? And when we hit the mystery, we must exercise the principle of faith and trust. Can I appeal to you today? I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what you're going through. You may have been hearing that little voice saying, well, why don't you just give up? Why don't you drop out? You know, soft pedal. You know, it's not worth it. It is worth it. Hang in there. Say, God, I don't understand, but I've determined to trust you. Thirdly, we avail ourselves of the promises of God. People could well say to us, it's okay to quote, the just shall live by faith, but how do you keep going? How do you cope with the long, lonely evenings? Any of you know anything about that? How do you handle the injustice of it all? How do you deal with the incredible loss? How do you live with that sense that life has changed, that God could have intervened and that you could have touched the mystery differently or not had it at all, but you've touched it? The answer to these questions is to be found in believing and appropriating the promises of God. Let me give you a few. Philippians 4, 5 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Those verses have been particularly meaningful to me. I guess they have to Philip over the last months. As you cope with all manner of mixed emotions and strange happenings, the promises of God. And then promises that give strength. The mystery we touch, that we allow, may be because of the sudden loss of a job, the loss of a colleague, a false accusation, an accident, fervent prayer that doesn't get answered, and just all this when our financial problems in the family are great and all kind of expectations are upon us. Lord, I just don't know how to keep going, sometimes we say. But then the Lord says, I will fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. And he does. And then encouragement. Promises that talk about encouragement. When all seems to be going so very dark, we can ask the God who gives encouragement to help us. Lord, send somebody to steady me. Lord, send somebody to remind me of what I know. Send somebody to give hope. Somebody to phone. Somebody to call. It's great when we can phone each other. Have you ever thought about just phoning somebody who's going through a hard time and saying, no reason for phoning really, just to say, keep going, I'm standing with you in prayer. I've had that a couple of times, you know, by just how are you, just thinking of you. It means so much. Moving on quickly, we appreciate that God moves to a purpose. I mean, these things, these points begin with the letter A there. We accept God's greatness and his sovereignty. We activate the principle of faith. We avail ourselves of the promises of God. And then fourthly, we appreciate that God moves to a purpose. We've touched on this, talking about Joseph. And God had a purpose in taking Joseph to Egypt. Paul put in prison. And then he writes all these epistles. God has a purpose. Paul said this to the Ephesians. God is working out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. We see this being worked out in his purposes for national Israel. And they were dispersed among the nations. And then God, back in the late 19th century, begins to take them back to Israel. And then Theodor Herzl convenes a conference and brings together Jews from all over the world. And then after that, they began to move back even more. Then in 1948, they become a nation recognized and strong. And then they move on. God's got for the world and for the church and for the future. A lot is linked in to God's plans and purposes for Israel. Jesus said, I will build my church and the powers of hell will not stop this. If this is happening on the overarching, wider international situation, cannot we believe that it's true in our lives as well? And some of you here today could testify that after a time of anguish and having touched the mystery of God's allowing, you have come to see that there was a purpose in what God was doing. And sometimes perhaps a relationship that hasn't led to marriage. Why, oh Lord, why? I've touched the mystery. It just seems that this was going to work out to be marriage. I remember as a late teenager in my early 20s, I picked up Elizabeth Elliot's book about her husband Jim, one of the martyrs that I talked about earlier on, and called Shadow of the Almighty. It was a tremendous book, and I really felt that God was challenging me about discipleship and going to the mission field. And I said to a young lady I was courting at the time, and I'd sort of got nurturing a hope to marry her, and one of these puppy love young loves at that age, I said to her, what would you do if God called me to the mission field? And like a shot, she said, I'd write to you. Right. And wouldn't come with you. Well, that was one friendship that folded. And I went to Moorlands, and years later I met Ginny, and then we were off to Europe in the mission field. Sometimes a student doesn't get to the university of his or her choice. Panic or horror. Older sister's gone, an older brother has gone. But then at the place they do go to study, they meet their life's partner, and a door opens for them for a great career. Sometimes an illness occurs, and everything gets put on hold. Why, Lord? Why now? What's the purpose of all this? And yet in hospital, they have time to think, and they begin to evaluate, and they tread a different path. Sometimes missing a train, or missing an aeroplane or a flight, or other form of delay has resulted in somebody's life being saved. So when we touch the mystery and cry out in anguished tone, why me, Lord? You know, why now? We also need to say, Lord, I choose to believe that there must be a purpose to all this. I choose to be still, and I choose to trust you. And lastly and briefly, we acknowledge the truth that behind the sadness, the trauma, the ups and the downs of life, there is the person of Satan himself, who is also operative in this world. This means that to a greater or lesser degree, at various times in our lives, we will all touch the mystery of what God allows to happen in the context of the spiritual warfare. So when we do, we need to say to ourselves, this is not unique to me. Jesus did say, in this world, you will have trouble. He doesn't stop loving me. He's still on the throne. We say to ourselves, I will trust him. I will stand on his promises. I choose to believe that he has a purpose in all this. I am in a spiritual warfare, and I must put on and keep on my spiritual armor. And it is so important for us to realize that we are in a fight. This world is not our natural habitat. And as we step through, sometimes it says that the evil one might say, you know, fight with neither small nor great, only with, and your name comes in there. And it's a time of opposition. It's a time of hardness. You begin to go through a difficult time. But the context is in the spiritual warfare. Job never did know that behind his anguish was the conversation between Satan and God. And we know that God had put a hedge around Job. And so Job comes to God and he says, yes, but look at that hedge you've put around him. You just take that hedge away and watch how he will renounce you and deny you and leave you and abandon you. And the Lord says, okay, within these limits, you don't touch his life. And Satan could only affect him on God's permission and with limitations. It was a part of Job's life where in the context of what was going on behind the scenes, for a heavenly reason and a heavenly purpose, Job was there for the glory of God in that situation. And the suffering ended, that suffering ended when God wanted it to. And God just brings it to a conclusion because God is omnipotent. What we're saying is that as we move through life, church life and our ordinary daily lives, there were times when we touch the mystery of what God allows. Jesus did, and in the sense that he was walking through, Father, where, yes, you want me to go this way today? I don't understand, but I'll go through Samaria today. And the Apostle Paul, Lord, you've allowed me to be thrown into prison here in Philippi, whatever for. And the jailer becomes a Christian, his whole family, then the home is opened, and the work goes on. Things happen that we don't understand, but let me say it again, God, in your life and in your church life, is painting on a wider canvas, because he sees the end from the beginning. He's moving things to a conclusion, and God in that purpose includes us, and when we don't understand, then we must stay strong. So for our encouragement, nothing can touch us from the enemy unless God so permits. And when we touch the mystery, let us be still and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. So if this morning there's a word for you to just to be quiet and to be trusting and to stand still, you might say, Lord, I've even thought about not going back to church for a while. I've thought about moving away. I've thought about pulling out. I'm involved in something in the church, but I don't understand what you're doing and what you're allowing. Be still, as the psalmist says. Be still and know that I am God. You're going to touch the mystery, but God has a purpose in that. Just a moment of quiet. Shall we close our eyes? Lord, we just pray that we might believe and understand that you paint on a wider canvas and you're working your purposes out. And we pray that we might be still. And I pray for anybody in the church building this morning that is wrestling with something he or she cannot externalize but knows this. He or she has touched the mystery. I pray you'd help them to be still and help us all to be sensitive, that your purposes might be worked out for us individually and collectively. In Jesus' name, amen.